Before receiving Christ, you were absolutely, and I may offend some people this morning, but you were absolutely spiritually void. You know, you might have been a great philanthropist. You might have been one of the most helping people in the world, but you were spiritually empty. And we see that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, now people will disagree with this, all right? But I'll take you to the scripture and argue this all day long, that when you accepted Jesus Christ, you got the Holy Spirit. Some people tell you, well, you know, you got to go tarry for the Spirit, and you know that the Spirit comes at some point later. No, I believe that instantaneously. Now, you might not, you know, you got all the Spirit that you were going to get. Now, the thing is, the Spirit needed to do what? Get more of you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Dr. Glaze's study today is titled Stewardship, Spiritual Gifts. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Stewardship, Spiritual Gifts.
We've been in a series, and this is the last of the series that we'll be doing. And we've been talking about time, talents, and treasures. And so this morning, we're actually going to continue on with a message on spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. So that's what we are going to look at today. We see that a steward is one who has been entrusted with the possessions of another. God has entrusted all of us with time, talents, treasures, and today we're going to see that he has entrusted us with spiritual gifts. Now, I had a video. I'm not sure. Okay, so we got it ready to go. Let's play that clip. No idea what spiritual gifts are. And, you know, I've never heard of that before, or I've heard of it and, you know, really don't understand it. So today we're going to try to make it as main as in and plain as we can. Let me begin by looking at some negative attitudes towards spiritual gifts. Negative attitudes towards spiritual gifts. All right, so there are some people who say there are other matters that are more important, that when you look at the fact that there's world hunger, when you look at the fact that marriages are struggling, when you look at the fact that our nation seems to be in turmoil, then when you look at all these things going on around us, it seems like there's more important things than spiritual gifts. Second thing that I've heard, God is more concerned about my service than he is about my spiritual gift. You know, it doesn't really make a big deal that I understand what my spiritual gift is. After all, isn't it just important that I'm serving God? And that's the main thing that God is concerned about, is me serving him. And then somebody says, well, I don't need to know my spiritual gift. You know, it's not something that is on high on my radar. Somebody will say, especially when they look at some of the gifts, that they really aren't relevant for today. So, you know, why should we even consider them? Why should we even talk about them since they are not relevant for today? And then somebody definitely has chimed in and said there's just too much confusion in the area of spiritual gifts. Some people say that some of the gifts have ceased and some continue on. Hey, you know, there's just too much confusion in this area, so I'd rather just come and see how to do something else and understand something else so I can become a better Christian. And spiritual gifts are really not high on my radar. But that moves me to the next point, and that is, why should we study spiritual gifts? Why should we study spiritual gifts? And so I want to give you four solid reasons and biblical reasons why we should study spiritual gifts. Number one, God wants believers to know their spiritual gifts. If you're sitting here today and you don't know what your spiritual gift is, then God wants you to know what it is. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans chapter 12. Oh, excuse me, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Now listen to this. Now I don't know how much more plain that the Bible can make it than this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So what is he saying there? He's saying, don't be ignorant of spiritual gifts. Somebody said today that one of the largest growing and the fastest growing denominations in America is the denomination of the ignorant brethren. So God says, you got that right. All right. So God says that he wants believers to know their spiritual gifts and that you would not be ignorant. Secondly, spiritual gifts are essential to the function of the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts are so important to the body of Christ that out of the whole Bible, God devoted one chapter, one whole chapter, and praise God. Somebody said, well, you know, I heard that, well, that's Old Testament. Well, praise God. This is New Testament, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he devoted a whole chapter to spiritual gifts. So you think spiritual gifts are unimportant? Well, you know, you might need to go to prayer and talk to God about that because, again, you know, he devoted an entire chapter to spiritual gifts. Third, God made people for a purpose, that all of us are here for a reason. All of us are here because God, from the foundations of the world, created you with a purpose in mind. He created you. He had a plan for your life, and understanding your spiritual gift, oh, praise God, understanding your spiritual gift will help you to understand your purpose. And then it's the believer's responsibility to know his gift. It's your responsibility, according to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. It's your responsibility to know your gift. And as we think about why studies gifts, and I think, you know, one of the important reasons in there is the fact that that's how the body of Christ functions. That's how we operate. You know, I was reading an illustration about a lady in a church, and she had the gift of mercy, and she had the gift of serving. And she just used her gift all the time. And the pastor knew that she had these gifts, and it just so happened that there was a lady in their neighborhood whose husband was killed out of town. And so she had to fly out of town and pick up his body. And the pastor knew that, you know, they were in the community, the family was not saved. And so he told this lady what happened. And so she called, and, you know, this lady had absolutely no idea, you know, where to start, what to do. He called, and she went over, talked to the lady, took her to the airport so that she could go pick up her husband's body, made arrangements. She had 8 kids, made arrangements to take care of the 8 children. When the lady came back, she met her at the airport and walked her through all that was involved in putting a funeral together and was right there with her through all of it. And as a result, 2 weeks later after the funeral, the lady came to church and gave her life to Jesus Christ. As a result of that, you know, her and her 8 kids were now in that church being discipled and serving God. All because what? One lady understood what her gifts were and used her gifts. And we see how that they work together. So if somebody says that, well, you know, my gifts are not that important. Well, all of our gifts are important. So if you think about it, if you go to that next slide, John MacArthur says this, that godly biblical church growth results from every member of the body fully using his spiritual gift in submission to the Holy Spirit and in cooperation with other believers. I think that's a very important quote right there, that biblical church growth. And again, I don't think it's necessarily talking about numbers. I mean, but growth as individuals in the body of Christ, that it's dependent on members understanding their gifts and using their gifts in submission to the Holy Spirit and working with other believers. When you think about the boats, right? You got the ocean liners, the cruise ships. You've got the warships that they land big planes on. You know, they land and they take off right there in the middle of the ocean. Warships, these big ships that navigate the high seas. But yet and still, when these big ships come into port, guess what it is that navigates them through the harbor? It's the little tugboat, right? The little tugboat. As small as that tugboat is, as insignificant on the high seas as that tugboat would be, yet and still, it is able to maneuver, it is able to get around in those ports unlike the big ships. And so it is at that point that the big ships need the little tugboats just to help them accomplish their mission. And as you think about the body of Christ, you know, there's a guy like Pastor Glaze, right, who preaches on the radio every evening from 7 to 7:30, 101.5 Word FM, who comes on three times a week on a program called Hard Questions, where pastors tackle answers of life right out of the Bible, who comes on, this service right here is broadcast, this service right now that you're sitting in is broadcast three times a week on the Faith and Family Network. And yet and still, most of the people who see this service, who understand Bethany Baptist Church, identify with Pastor Glaze. But Pastor Glaze realizes that he couldn't do anything or be anything without all the other people who make this possible. That if you don't have people standing back there videoing, if you don't have people recording the message and then taking it and editing it, if you don't have people that make sure the programs are ready to put on the air, hey, it don't make any difference. Pastor Glaze, Pastor Mays, or Pastor Blaze, it don't make any difference. But, you know, so it's all of us working together. It's the big ocean liners, but hey, it's the small tugboats that help get things done. So we need to realize, that's why we need to understand how God has gifted us and be able to use our gifts in the body of Jesus Christ. I saw this cartoon. I thought it was kind of humorous. Mr. Norlander, as your spiritual gift assessment placement consultant, I have the task of connecting you with the ministry of the church that you have tested most gifted to perform. After much deliberation, it's my conviction that you serve the church best as a pew sitter. So, the gift. We're talking about gifts this morning. Before receiving Christ, you were absolutely, and I may offend some people this morning, but you were absolutely spiritually void. You know, you might have been a great philanthropist. You might have been one of the most helping people in the world, but you were spiritually empty. And we see that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, now people will disagree with this, all right? But I'll take you to the scripture and argue this all day long, that when you accepted Jesus Christ, you got the Holy Spirit. You got, some people tell you, well, you know, you got to go tarry for the Spirit, and you know that the Spirit comes at some point later. No, I believe that instantaneously. Now, you might not, you know, you got all the Spirit that you were going to get. Now, the thing is, the Spirit needed to do what? Get more of you, right? You got all the Spirit that you were going to get when you got saved. And I've got into discussions with some of my good pastor friends about this, but I truly believe that, because the Bible says in Romans that if you don't have, oh my goodness, that if you don't have the Spirit of God, that you are none of His. So when you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit indwelt you. The Holy Spirit lived within you. Now, as a result of that, He endows you with certain abilities for service. That when you got saved and the Holy Spirit came into you, that He didn't come not bearing gifts. The Holy Spirit came bearing gifts. The Holy Spirit came with these things that we call spiritual gifts or divine enablements, where now there was things that we might not have had before. Now, by having the Holy Spirit indwell in us, He enables us to do certain things. So these divine enablements are called spiritual gifts. And we're going to look at these spiritual gifts this morning in the service. Before we actually get into the gifts, let me say one more thing. And that is, we talked about the second week, natural talents. And we spent a lot of time talking about natural talents, natural abilities. And so let's look at the differences between natural talents and spiritual gifts. So this will help somebody out this morning before I actually get into talking about the gifts. We see that natural talents come from God, but they come where? Through your parents. You know, some people have good genes, right? Well, hopefully we all got good genes, right? But some people have genes that are, enable them to do things extra special. And so the natural talents come from God, but they come through our parents. Spiritual gifts come from God, but they come through the Holy Spirit. So I go back to that slide that I put up, that when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came. And so God allowed the Holy Spirit to bring gifts into your life. Secondly, natural talents are given to every human being. Spiritual gifts are only given to believers. And so every believer has at least one of the gifts that I'm going to emphasize this morning. Every believer has at least one gift. Some people have two gifts or more. I don't think anybody has all of them, but everybody has at least one. Your natural talents are given at birth. Your spiritual gifts are given at rebirth. When I say rebirth, what am I talking about? Well, Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless the man be born again, right? So unless you are born again, you don't have spiritual gifts. But when you got saved, when you gave your life to Jesus Christ and became born again, that you received spiritual gifts. Natural talents can be used in the natural world, or you can use your natural talents in God's kingdom. That's true. They can be used in the world, or they can even be used in the kingdom of God. But spiritual gifts are to be used to build God's kingdom. That's the reason that you have a spiritual gift. Your spiritual gift is not to go out and serve the world. Your spiritual gift is not to go out and serve yourself. Your spiritual gift is to build the kingdom of God. And so we see here, no one has all, so we need all. All right? No one has all, so we need all. No one has all the gifts, so we need all the members to exercise their gifts. And then we see that natural talents are used primarily for self and then for others. And we see that spiritual gifts are used solely to serve God and others. So let me let you in on a big surprise this morning. A big surprise. Your spiritual gift is not for you. It's not for you. If you have a spiritual gift, it's for two others. It's for God, and it's to serve others. That's why God has gifted you with spiritual gifts. You know, I heard an interesting story about a guy who went to law school, and he was blind. And he made it through law school and actually graduated with honors. And so when they decided that they were going to honor him at graduation because of his excellence in academics, that he said, I can't accept this honor unless my buddy, and he named him, he said, comes with me to receive the honor. And so they said, okay. And when his buddy came, his buddy had no arms. This is a true story. Had no arms. And what was happening is that the blind man would carry the books. And the man with no arms would read the materials as they would study. And so they both worked together. You couldn't have one without the other and the other without the other. They worked together. And according to the story, that both of them actually had planned on opening a law business together. You're talking about interdependence. You're talking about spiritual gifts and seeing the need for spiritual gifts and why we need to understand what our gift is and we need to exercise what our spiritual gift is. So let's look at the types of gifts. We see that there are three types of gifts. There are preparing gifts, then those gifts used to prepare believers for the work of the ministry. There are power gifts, and those gifts demonstrate the supernatural power of God. And then there are performing gifts, and those are the gifts used to serve within the body. So we are going to focus our attention this morning on the third aspect of the gifts. Now, in your notes, you will see that I broke down the gifts and I kind of put a sentence explanation between all of them. Just to say also that I have a booklet that I put together and it's called Spiritual Gifts. And I can email this to you if you need a hard copy. But in it, I go through all the gifts in detail. I break each gift down in detail and talk about, you know, what it is, how you can use it. And so if you want a copy of this, because I know that it's going to be impossible for me to do the total justice to the message this morning. So I just want to say that there are resources beyond the sermon today that can help you in dealing with your spiritual gifts. And then also, I'm going to encourage you to see Sister Lydia Lockhart, because she will be here and help you to understand what your gift is. So I'll say a little bit more about that later. All right, so let's look at real quick the preparing gifts. The preparing gifts, these are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 8 through 10, wisdom, knowledge, faith, and discernment. All right, so those are defined. Yeah, I gave, again, a one-sentence explanation in the notes. So if you want to just get an idea, because my objective is not to exegete all of these this morning. I want to get right to the point where we're at, where the rubber meets the road. Secondly, there are the power gifts, and this is the ability to heal, to do miracles, to speak in tongues, to interpret tongues, and then even apostleship, you know, is a gift. So those are the first two categories of gifts. Now, let me get to where we're at, okay, where we want to be. Because I think that this, for the purposes of this series that I'm doing, these are the gifts that we need to understand. So turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And we have that famous passage, verse 1.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Stewardship, Spiritual Gifts. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Stewardship, Spiritual Gifts, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Stewardship, Spiritual Gifts. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Stewardship, Spiritual Gifts, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.